Have you ever wondered what event leaders are doing right now to pack their rooms and convert attendees into high-ticket clients? Welcome to the High Profit Event Show, the podcast for experts who want to maximize profits and impact through live events. I'm Rudy Rodriguez, and each week I interview industry leaders to share what's working right now when it comes to filling your events, engaging your audience, and getting clients to enroll into your high-ticket programs. So stick around and be sure to hit that subscribe button. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, my friends. Welcome to today's episode. We have a special guest coming to us all the way from Vietnam, my good friend, Kong. Welcome, sir.
Happy to see you, Rudy, and happy to spend time with you to share the things that we all love about event with my audience and with the audience as well. I'm so excited.
I'm excited to have you here, my friend. For our audience who are perhaps meeting you for the first time, Kong and I actually met at a speaker training with Scott DeMolin last year, and we're together in a mastermind program from that. But more importantly, Tan is actually the first entrepreneur to lead the coaching industry in his country of Vietnam. He's been doing it since 2012. He's helped over 2,000 people become certified coaches in Vietnam, and he wrote the book, three books on the subject. You are an expert, my friend, and you also have a formal education. You have an MBA as well from Southern Columbia University in Vietnam. You are a brilliant human being, and I am so excited to have you share with us today what you've learned when it's come to live events. So I'm going to go ahead and turn to you, my friend. Give us a little background on how you came to events and what you want to share with us today.
One thing on the bio you're not introduced yet is my background is I'm mechanic engineer. And later, so I work offshore. I work offshore as engineer. And at that time, 2008, I listened to Tony Robbins audio. So I said, wow, the motivational industry, the speaker coach is great. So I want to become a speaker. And then for somehow, I turned out to be a coach. And develop a generation of coach. That's how my journey begin, because I'm not happy with the job I have as oil and gas engineer. So that's how my career, the chance that I come to coaching.
Very cool. Okay. Thanks for that adjustment. Yeah, from an engineer to a speaker to coach, and now helping thousands of other people become coaches as well. And I know recently you do several events per year, including a recent event called Life Mastery, a 5-day intensive that you were inspired by from Tony Robbins' Date with Destiny event. So I'm super excited to hear your experience with events as well as with webinars as a promotion model. Because oftentimes people say, hey, how do I fill my event? How do I get more people to attend my events? And webinars are events. They're single day events or an hour or two, but you have a formula when it comes to webinars that you've used to fill your events and your programs. And I'm really excited to hear what you've learned.
Okay, cool. So I think as a trainer, as a speaker, as a coach, and the other event, one of the most challenging thing that I faced, and also my student face, is how to fill the event. And I do quite a lot of things, the Facebook ad, the LinkedIn ad, calling my friends, a referral. And one other thing that I found that it's very effective for me is through the webinar. Not just like one short webinar, but to create a form of 3-day challenge or 5-day challenge, but it's like 2 hours each day. So that's how I feel like it worked best for me, especially during the COVID, 2 years in the COVID. I believe that I did about like 500 to 600 webinar during that 2 years. That's why I get the skill and it's become like proven model for me to fill the event.
Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've refined it. You've made a proven model and share with us more. Tell me more.
Okay, cool. So I think with the time we have here, I just said like what I found, like the common mistake people, when they try to fill the event, when they try to sell things through event, they make a common mistake through a webinar and what they should do, right? The common mistake and what they should do. The first common mistake, I think people think like a webinar is just one shot, one-time event. They just do like, 60 minutes webinar or 90 minutes of webinar or 120 minutes webinar just to sell people. And so they miss out of a lot with that thinking mindset. I just get people into the room and I close people. So that's not good. For a lot of people think like webinar is just kind of a tactic just to sales. For me, I think of webinar is a strategic way, like a strategic, because I think webinar is not just to sales, but webinar is the way to achieve, like for me, it's four things, right? It's build the brand, build the authority. For example, like if I'm speaking on the topic of coaching, people see me everywhere weekly. People see me everywhere weekly. Automatically, people think, oh, he is a leading in the industry here because he is speaker, he's trainer, he coaches a lot of people and I see him every day. I see him every week. So that build the brand and the authority. And the second thing, I think it's really good as well because normal in the webinar, if people closing rate is good, it's around like 4% or 5%. You in the industry, Rudy, you know how to close in the event, right? What I mean is they lose our 95% not building the relationship with them just after the webinar if they do it wrong. And it's come to one of the most common challenges, like not continue the relationship with the audience. So I think the second one is the webinar, I treat it as like the way I can add so much value for the audience. So keep them warm. So that's how I see it. And also the third one is webinar. It's for me to practice my skill as well. Okay. It's like the skill of speaking, the skill of training, and the skill of closing. So I think that's the most common mistake when people treat like webinar as just the technique. I think it's a strategy to build a relationship, to add so much value so that like to create a long-term like fan of a customer. So you want to say something, Rudy?
Yeah, no, what I'm hearing you say is oftentimes people don't take webinars into account strategically. They just look at them as singular events. And it sounds like you have a bit of a formula to use webinars to warm people up for the events, not just enroll them in the events, but to keep get them warmed up and to engage them for the events as well. So yeah, that's kind of what I'm picking up. And I know you've done a lot of these. So thank you for being willing to share some of the common mistakes that you've made. People make. I think that's actually one of the most helpful things.
Yeah,
please keep going.
Yes. And the second mistake, they treat like webinar is just like quite a lot of event organizer or speaker, trainer, coach. They just think like, oh, I have some topic and I do 90 minutes webinar and I sell. That's it. Just one shot email to the list too. But for me, I think webinar is three phase event. Before, during, and after. Because here's what I learned. And normally, the show-up rate in the webinar is about like 30% is considered good if they don't do anything. But what I'm doing with my team is I'm doing like the pre-webinar, I do the warming up sequence, like 7 days before that. Normally, it takes me 2 to 3 weeks to introduce the webinar. So the week before the webinar happened is crucial. So I have the warming up sequence with email, with video. So the showing up rate can go up to 60%. Right. So if don't do anything, it's 30%. If do, it's 60%. Because the running ad cost, we already lost the money. So I think that's a crucial. And also, the phase three, which is like after the webinar. In my experience, when I don't have the big team, I don't have a team during the webinar, I'm closing and done. I don't do anything after the webinar for the next week. And also in my experience, if we do the follow-up after the webinar, so we can double the closing rate. So treat the webinar as the event before, during, after. Because otherwise, I always say, you leave money on the table. You do all the hard work for 3 weeks to promote the webinar, to run ad, the course, and you do the webinar and you lose money on the table because you're not following up. So I think that's knowing that is crucial for my business, and I train quite a lot of the other. And when they implement that, they see the closing rate double just by like 5-day email following up and following up with one-on-one strategic calls for the people who attended webinar but not buying yet. So that's something, the second thing that I learned.
Great. Okay. Before, during, and after.
Think
of all three strategically, warm up, what the presentation and closing is, and then follow up and conversion. Excellent.
Yep. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
That's the second. Let me see what I have here. On the third point. Okay. The third point is that for the end of people who doing the event, but the closing rate is not that high as expected, is because the content itself, they structure the content for the webinar or for the event, but when it comes to the offer, it's misalignment. Like they teach something and they sell another thing. So the audience don't feel like, oh, what they sell is connect what they're teaching. So what I call the misalignment between the messaging, the actual content delivering in the webinar, it's not relevant to the offer that they sell at the end of the webinar or the challenge. So I think that's the third mistake. And the fourth is like, they don't track the metrics. They don't know what the right metrics to track. Or they just have one metric, how much sales I have at a webinar. But for me, I track 5 metrics, like you and the other friends know well, like registration and the show-up rate. We just talk about show-up rate. And the crucial one is the retention rate. With the time we have, we don't talk about how to speak it so much engaging so people stay to end. Normally, I do so well. It's just like 10% or 15% drop. Okay. And close it during the webinar and close rate the follow-up. So that is the 5 metrics. Normally people just track 1 metric. And what I love about this is like, if people don't know what metric to track, so they don't know what to improve. If they just track 1 metric, they say, oh, why my closing rate is low? Your closing rate is low because you're not doing the writing in the front. You're not warming up the audience. You're not delivery so engaging. You're not the right content, right messaging. So that's the mistake they have. So my advice for the people who run event is know your number, right? So that's the fourth thing. Yep. I think that's the common mistake that people make when running a webinar.
Absolutely. So, definitely want to emphasize that point you made about knowing your numbers and tracking your metrics. When I work with clients, whether it's a live event or an in-person event or a webinar, the only way we can make it better is by tracking the metrics. And I'm just going to recap the ones that you shared. You track the metrics of, hey, how many people are signing up to the webinar, how many people actually attended, how many stay until the end. I think that's important. How many yep. were at the beginning and how many were at the end. It shows how engaging your webinar is.
I would love to learn more from that from you because you're expert on that, Rudy.
Thank you. And then ultimately, what percentage of your webinar attendees convert right into the next step? In which your case, it's your level one program, which leads them to your live events as well. I know you have several events that you do for your level one program members. But for some people, it's a ticket to their live event. I actually do like the format, just on a tangent, that you do where you're rolling them into your programs and then your programs include events, right, as a way to bring them in versus just a standalone. But that's another subject alone. So yeah, you track the close rate of the webinar and I think you also track rates after. So you want to track what closes on the webinar, but you want to track what closes after. And those are two really important different things. Oftentimes people don't look at that properly. And that's the only way to know how effective you are on the webinar versus later via email, et cetera. And to your point, whatever you manage can improve. So I really want to emphasize that. I know it's you and I are kind of are engineers by education and background, so we can nerd out on this stuff. But I totally respect that for many people, this is the stuff that they don't like, they avoid, they don't want to do. But it's the thing, one of the things that makes a big difference is knowing the numbers and tracking and improving over time. So for my audience, if you're in business, which I assume you are listening to this, you got to know your numbers. And if you're not someone that loves numbers, you got to find someone who doesn't fortune in that.
Yeah.
Wonderful, my friend. Anything else you would like to share on the subject of webinars as live events and a mechanism to fill events?
Yeah, of course. And I just said, like, what they some do something wrong, but they hear the secret. Here's like some of the right way to do the webinar so that they attract a lot of audience and the high conversion rate. So I think the first thing is the messaging. Back to 101, right? Back to 101. It's basic, simple, basic. Everyone knows it. But when it comes to implementation, sometimes people forgot. So, and here's what I learned from my mentor, Joe Power. He said, a message to market match. 3 questions to answer for any webinar is like, who is the audience? What's the pain point? And what's the promise and result? And it needs to be tied in with the offer at the back. Very alignment. Because I realized that is very, 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 very basic. But for some time, even an experienced trainer, speaker, coach, they forgot. They just come to webinar and say, oh, here's I want to teach. Here I want to share. Without like clearly defined right audience, the pain point and the promise or the results. So I think that's crucial. 101, basic, but I think that's crucial. And the second is when it's more about structuring the content. Even with the experienced trainer, speaker, coach, my audience or your audience, right? They do quite a lot of event, live event, webinar. But when it's come to the content, here's what I found. People struggle to organize the content. And the one other thing is they put too much content. They put too much content. But actually, too much content overwhelms the audience. And that's the reason they not buy, because we give so much content. When it's come to content, and my advice is 3 pieces of content. It's like, this is, I'm not sure it's come from anywhere, but I read from Russell Brunson's books, 3 pieces, like secret 1, opportunity, secret 2, internal challenge, secret 3, the external challenge. And the content itself is not like a random content, but teaching not just for the sake of teaching, but to remove all the sales objection. So that's what I found. Less is more. I love that.
Yeah. The less is more. I remember the saying that, hey, if I had more time, I would have written you a shorter letter. It actually takes effort to delete, to edit, to shorten things, to make things more valuable for people. To your point, it's like, hey, who's my audience? What is their pain point? And what is my solution to them? And getting super clear on that and making sure that that's in alignment and congruent with the offer. And that's something that's constantly evolving to figure out. I know I work on that. I have those challenges at times. I have to check in and ask myself, are these things in alignment? I do that with my clients as well, making sure that all that's lined up, the audience, the pain point, the solution, and then the offer, that it's all congruent. And oftentimes when there's a problem with the back end, the sale, it's typically we look at one of those 3 things that was off. We just weren't clear on one of those components. So I'm really glad that you emphasized that. Basics 101, but probably one of the most important things for sure.
Yep.
Awesome.
And one last point is about the offer itself. Make sure that it's like the offer is sexy. Quite a lot of things on the offer, but for me, I think the crucial is 6 needs to be on the offer. 1 clear pain point, 1 clear. Some of them might make a mistake, too many pain point, too many promise, 1 clear pain point. And the promise, 2nd. And I think there's the 3rd one, this good one is payment plan. Because now with the high ticket product, some of the audience might not afford, don't have the money. So payment plan will have them. And it's crucial is guarantee. I add so much guarantee during all my program, right? After 3 days, you feel that you're not satisfied 200%, just let my team know. Not normally, I let them experience 2 or 3 days so that they get so much value. So I don't have any refund yet so far, luckily. Okay. And the 5th is the bonus. It's crucial. And the 6th, and the scarcity and urgency. I don't really like that. Honestly, when my mentor, I do it for a long time. And I don't really like to put people, oh, you got 2 days to register. You got 3 days. But here's the thing. It works. I don't like that. So one of the things, the thing is, in business, in event, we do what works, not we do what we like. That's what I learned from my mentor as well. I don't like put people in scarcity or urgency, but it's work because it triggers people to take the action.
Do what works, not necessarily what we like. And I want to add to that, obviously, do what works that's ethical, legal.
Yes.
I think that's a caveat. Some people may not subscribe to that, but I know you and I do. And I think you right now, what you just highlighted, honestly, I think is, in my perspective, the most valuable nugget of this whole interview is at the end of the day, what is it that's going to move people to take the next step, period? Whether it's registering for an event or enrolling in your program or any action step you need them to take. Because I think that people will put off making a decision as long as they possibly can until they have enough reasons to do it right there and then. I think that's where the scarcity comes in, the urgency, the guarantees, the bonuses, as you were describing. All those things are so critical to they have support people make a decision right there and then. That's going to be best for them. But if we leave it open loop for indefinitely, people will put it off as long as they possibly can. I know I do. And I'm aware of, I look for opportunities to have deadlines, even if there's deadlines, because otherwise I'll just keep putting things off.
Me too. That's why I say it's so effective.
It is. Absolutely, man. Thank you for bringing that forward. And that was a big nugget. And I would go back to this recording if you're listening to this. Again, just that little segment, any offer you're making, those are principles that apply to any aspect of your business. What moves people forward? Thank you for that. Awesome, my friend. So as we're kind of coming up towards the end of our interview here, I'd love to hear from you. Any final words of advice or nuggets for our audience as they consider using webinars as an event to either fill their events or as standalone events? Any final words that you'd like to share?
My final words is like, have fun with it and add so much value to our audience. When we do it, we have people see our face, we can talk to people, we can coach to people and do it long enough until we really have the skill to convert. For some of the people, they might struggle with that, but I think that's the beauty. And we are now so disconnected. Even like we have Facebook, we have like social media. And I think doing the event, seeing people face to face, connect with people, sharing with people, and that's the beautiful things to do it more event.
Right? Yeah, have fun and keep doing it. You get better. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, I think those are super helpful lessons. We're over 80 episodes in recording now for this podcast, and we'll be at over 100 here in the next couple months. And I remember just starting it and just not knowing what I was doing right away, but just kept doing it almost every week consistently over time and just having fun with it. And now I feel like getting to episodes 100, I finally have a sense for what we're doing here.
So admire what you do, and you inspire me to do the same. It's consistent, have some fun, connect with people, sharing the knowledge. We do so great things. Keep it up, man.
All things done consistently over time lead to great results. So
yeah.
Thank you for being on with us today. For our guests here, if you want to connect with Cuong, we included a link to his Facebook here. We'll have some other links as well to some of his material. I know the majority of material is in Vietnamese. That's the market you serve, but you do have some material in English. But I think at the end of the day, if our audience wants to connect with you, whether they speak English or Vietnamese, they can just reach out to you on Facebook. Is that right?
Yes. I would love to connect with people and your friends, your audience, and my friends as well. I can speak Vietnamese and English, so I can connect with both.
Yeah, so if you're considering wanting to be a coach and you speak Vietnamese, or you know someone that does, Cuong is your guy. He is the guy for anyone who wants to become a coach, and especially in Vietnam. He is the pioneer of the industry in Vietnam. So it's been an honor to have you here, my friend. Thank you again for being a guest, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Thanks, we see you in LA when we go to the Refresh with the Scott.
Yes. I look forward to seeing you again in another feature speaker training. All right, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. Bye. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the High Profit Event Show. If you are a seminar leader or thought leader or event service provider who has led or supported profitable, successful events to over 100 people, and you've been effective at enrollment into your high-end coaching, education, mastermind type programs, we're looking for guests. Love to have you on the show. You can go to our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com, click on the podcast tab and submit an application to be on our show. Also, if you found the show to be valuable, share it with someone who you think might benefit from it. Take a moment, please leave a review, and also subscribe if you haven't already. And lastly, if you have an upcoming event, whether it be virtual or in person, and you'd like to have a conversation about how to fuel your coaching, education, mastermind programs fast using events, you're welcome to book a complimentary 15-minute consult with either myself or a member of my team on our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com. Again, this is Rudy Rodriguez, and congratulations on investing the time to listen to this episode. I hope it's been valuable. Have a great day.